This is WCPT 820, where facts matter. The following is a paid program from the Golfers on Golf and their sponsors. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio on AM 820 WCPT, presented by the French Lick Resort of French Lick, Indiana, and hosted by Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, happy Saturday. It's a little after 4 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. We made it into a beautiful Saturday afternoon in September, September 11th, a date that certainly lives in our minds. And although we're going to spend some time talking about the world of golf coming up, of course, we don't want to gloss past what this date means to everybody. I think sometimes it's hard to remember what we were doing last week, but impossible to forget what any of us were doing 20 years ago on this date. And certainly our thoughts go out to the heroes that were part of the 9/11 story and a day that really forever changed the world. As we turn our thoughts back to golf here in studio this week, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, alongside PGA Life member Bill Berger and longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears. Lots to talk about in the hour coming up. In particular, some news broke this week, some anticipated news with selections of additional players joining the Ryder Cup team. It's coming up in Haven, Wisconsin. Long anticipated, delayed 1 year due to COVID, but a lot of excitement about this international event that is going to be right here in the Midwest. And, Billy, let's start with you. I don't know if you had a chance to catch Steve Stricker's picks this week, but Captain Steve Stricker, really tabbed, I think, some youth in putting his Ryder Cup team together this year to play at Whistling Straits a little later this month in Haven, Wisconsin. What do you think? Any idea? We spoke about it last week. Any surprises in the picks that came out from Captain Stricker this week?
You know, I can't think of any. He had a lot of choices, you know. It seemed, I'm sure, not many more than any other year, but it just seemed, and when you have that many choices, you know, it's always when you're totally in command, it's not as easy as it looks.
Well, when you have lots of choices, you have lots of people to second guess your choices.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously a deep bench of talent to pick from. Anyone would be honored to be part of that Ryder Cup experience. And in case you missed it, Captain Steve Stricker picked Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Harris English, Scottie Scheffler, and Daniel Berger. I'm sorry, Bill Berger, no relation, but I know you root for him anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. And you know what? He's came off, a hand injury or something similar. But he is really, in the last year, he's been, to me, he's been kind of the sleeper out there, Eddie, because he's always around in the number 10 slot. You know, I don't know the exact
figures. He's in the thick of it, yeah. He's played high level.
Really consistent golf, you know. He's not falling out of the top 15 somewhere. One couple of weeks ago or so, I forgot where it was, that he might have been out. But just week after week, he's been pretty steady, so... I don't know if that surprised you. It surprises me a little.
I think some people were surprised to see, I don't know, the likes of maybe Patrick Reed not getting picked, although I think we know he's been sick lately. It was apparently non-COVID related, some pneumonia for Patrick Reed. But, of course, those six joined the automatic qualifiers, who include Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Patrick Cantlay. So I think if anything defines this team, it's youth. There was some thought that there may be a little bit of a deeper reach by the captain to bring in some players who had more experience in international competitions like this, the team competitions, from a President's Cup or previous Ryder Cups. But I believe overall this means there will be, I think, as many as six rookies on the Ryder Cup team. And, you know, I guess in some ways you could debate, Bill, is that good or bad? We know the USA has not had the greatest record in recent Ryder Cups. So perhaps not having that baggage and the scars of previous losses, is that an advantage or is it a deficit to not have experience on that same sort of world stage where instead of playing for your own self, your own ranking and your own payday, you're playing on behalf of your country?
You know, all you said is really right, and the only thing I could maybe add to it, along with talent, of course, which everybody has, and I think those rookies will bring more enthusiasm. You know, there'll be a little different attitude, and definitely not the same old, a routine. Not to say it's bad, the same routine, but sometimes when you you change up and do something different, or somebody has a different look at things. You know, that could shake the bowl. You know?
I just made notes. I love hearing that, Bill. You know, as my dear 100-year-old friend, the change is good. I'm going to embrace that. Of course, I'm teasing you a little bit, Billy. But Rory, we were talking a bit about the Ryder Cup selections. Youth is going to be served on this team this year. Anything surprise you about anyone left out or any curveballs from Captain Stricker?
Yeah, Webb Simpson would have been my pick, and a lot of people are not pleased with Patrick Reed, even though I know he's still coming back from an ankle injury and a health problem.
Pneumonia, right?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, all I know is a lot of the European media are already writing they're very glad that Steve Stricker left him off the team because they didn't want to face him. So the weak link on the team, I think, is Daniel Berger. I would have never picked him.
Sorry, Billy.
I that's a no-go. Scottie Scheffler's a borderline pick. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this all plays out. But and when we come back from our first break, we're going to have John Claffey back in the studio with us here again, the Vice President of Marketing for Tour Edge. And also our very own Len Zeem will be joining us over the landline here. So with that, we're going to take our first break. We'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio right after this.
Sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield. Now under new management, with a new professional, a new superintendent, and a brand new look. If you haven't been there in a while, it's time to revisit Klein Creek. Book your tee time at 630-690-0101 or visit the brand new Klein Creek app or kleincreek.com.
Are you ready to travel again? Yeah, who isn't? So now's the best time to visit the 5-star French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. The French Lick Resort is home to 3 great golf courses, including championship venues like the Donald Ross and Pete Dye golf courses. But don't forget the sporty 9-hole Valley Links course is also plenty of fun. For activities off the golf course, the French Lick Resort offers a full casino and sports book, a spa, a full-size pool, and several restaurants. Groups or individuals can now enjoy the rooms of the Valley Tower, which is attached right to the casino. 3 hotels give the resort over 750 guest rooms, so you always have a place to stay. The famed West Baden Hotel, the Dome, was once described as the 8th wonder of the world. So plan your trip by visiting FrenchLick.com. That's FrenchLick.com or call the resort at 888-936-9360. The Misswood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is home to one of the Chicago area's most complete golf facilities. First on the tee is the architect Ray Hearn designed and redesigned Scottish Links-style golf course, complete with 4 holes around the challenging Kelpies Corner. Mistwood is also home every year to the Phil Kozin Illinois Women's Open in July. Mistwood's award-winning performance center has won numerous awards for instruction and club fitting. It has indoor and outdoor hitting areas, and the practice range is now complete with target greens. The Performance Center also has an old-fashioned Irish-styled bar. In the newly rebuilt clubhouse, it's home to McWethy's Tavern for lunch and dinner that overlooks the golf course and the island green third hole. McWethy's Sports Bar is located at the Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook, but still open year-round. But for more information on Mistwood Golf Club, see mistwoodgc.com or call the club at 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Mistwood Golf Club, Romeoville. This segment is sponsored by the Arlington Lakes Golf Course that has rematured since its renovation of a few years back. The new routing allows for 3-hole, 6-hole, 9-hole, and 18-hole loops. Get your tee time by calling 847-577-3030 or visit ahpd.org/golf.
All right, it's about 4:15 here in Chicago. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio here in studio. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears, longtime PGA member Bill Berger. We're going to introduce our guest in just a moment. We're privileged to have an in-studio guest today. But, hey, Rory, before we do, I know earlier this year we were tracking the activities of the PGA. There were local and regional qualifiers for the drive, chip, and putt. I know we were honored to host one of them out at the Preserve at Oak Meadows in Addison, part of the DuPage golf family with the Forest Preserve District in DuPage County. Billy, you had a granddaughter that that sunk about a 30-foot putt to advance on to Oakbrook, but as that tournament goes on, like many, the field slims down a little bit, and kids now have advanced all the way to Medina. Rory, you've been keeping tabs on it. Where do we stand?
Yeah, well, it's not complete yet today, but the finals are going on this afternoon right now as we speak, and the kids that win today are going to get a spot at Augusta National next year. Always a great way to start Masters Week with drive, chip, and putt. The Illinois PGA section is out there running this regional qualifier. The boys, 7-9, are done. Congratulations to Hayden Klein of Coon Rapids, Iowa. He is the winner at boys 7-9. Both boys and girls groups, 12 and 13, 14 and 15, have not yet started. And also boys 10 and 11, Lidius Philippe is your winner there. And Lidius is from Poplar Grove, Illinois, out near Rockford. The girls' side, ages 7 to 9, now complete. Eloise Fetzer, your winner there. She is from LaGrange, Illinois. Congratulations, Eloise. And Liliana Graham is the winner in the girls 10 to 11 bracket. She is from Bettendorf, Iowa, out in the Quad Cities.
These Iowans, these Hawkeyes are doing it.
Yeah, they are today. It's a big Iowa day, Ed, as you know.
I'm well aware.
Playing some football. And anyway, with that, we're also thrilled. We have Len Zeem with us on the line checking in today. And John Claffey, Vice President of Marketing, Tour Edge Golf, is also here with us in the studio. John, welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back here again. Thanks for having me.
Well, John, appreciate you bringing in some of the new models of Tour Edge Exotics. This driver looks really good, and if it's missing when the show is over, it's in my golf bag. So.
What else is new, Rory? Jeez.
Yeah, that is the new Exotics Pro 721 driver. That's a limited edition, only 1,000 of each loft. Straight from the tour van. We just launched that to the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour Champions. And in fact, this weekend, we started to see a major bump in the amount of players that were put into play. We have 7 total drivers in play this weekend, and 5 of them were the new Pro 721. So it's one of the fastest growing models out on the Champions Tour. John Daly has it in play. Ken Duke has put it into play. Duffy Waldorf has put it into play. And a couple guys who are not even on, you know, any kind of staff deal with us that are just choosing to play it. So it is, we actually were the number 4 ranking manufacturer in drivers And that was the number four ranked model this week after only being out for three events. So it's we've got a lot of drivers in play out there. We got a lot of clubs in play. We actually set a record this weekend in St. Louis. It's the inaugural event, the Ascension Charity Classic. We have 68 total Tour Edge clubs in play by 17 different players. So that's a new record for Tour Edge.
John, since you were here last time, you've added to your list of staff players at Tour Edge. Tell us what it was like for Tour Edge to bring in the guy that, as Colin Montgomery described him to me once, the staple of the Champions Tour, Bernhard Langer. That had to be great to see somebody like him show interest in your product and coming aboard.
Yeah, number one player out on the Champions Tour, the tour that we've made our home and really put our flag into and putting all of our most of our efforts into. We're still have clubs in play out on the big tour, but signing Mr. Langer was a huge deal for us. We're still working with him on clubs, and he's got a full set of irons in play and our hybrids in play. But he is a pro's pro and just a complete awesome guy to work with. I mean, he shot his age the other day for the first time, 64 in a tournament. And that was really cool to see. And he finished, in the top, he finished runner-up. So actually the last Champions Tour before this event, we went 1-2 finish. We had a guy playing our clubs that finished first who was not a staff player, and then Mr. Langer finished second. So that was our 13th victory out on the Champions Tour since we started this program.
John, I got to put you on the spot here, and I know you can't go into all the details yet for about another 48 hours, but the next group of new products is coming out from Tour Edge this week. What can you tell us other than maybe stay tuned for Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday's a big launch day for us. It's our new hot launch. It's going to be our sixth iteration. It's called Hot Launch 522. The biggest launch in our company history. We basically are taking game improvement and putting a focus on it that no one else does in the industry. We have a E522 side that's coming out and a C522. The E stands for extreme game improvement. The C stands for competition spec game improvement. So we found that there's two sides of game improvement. There's the player who absolutely does not care what a club looks like, whether it has offset, as long as it's as easy to hit as possible, that's what the E side of things is. It's shallow faces. It's offset to help you fight the slice. And then you've got the C side, which is competition spec, sits pretty square at address. It's got deeper faces and a little bit more traditional in the irons. On the E side of the things with irons, it's an iron wood. It's actually a hollow body iron that is just made to get the ball up in the air and give, keep you straight as possible. On the C side of things, it's a more traditional cavity back. There's a separate driver, separate fairway, separate hybrid, separate irons, and separate wedges on both sides. So it is a huge launch. More details can be found on Tuesday, but that's about what I'm allowed to say at this point.
Okay, and these clubs are so good. I believe our very own Len Ziem, who's on the line with us, has already placed an order for some of these. Lenny, how are you?
Well, I say you can't go wrong with Tour Edge clubs. I've been having some in my bag for quite a while, but I don't want that's kind of a detriment for John here because I'm not the greatest player in the world. But if I play more of them, I'll get better. That's the way I got to look at it.
Guys, Len, I know you quipped about your game, and we heard about the game improvement clubs. And at the same time, there's that other side of the coin. There's more tour validation going on right now for Tour Edge than maybe ever. And I guess in some ways, there's that line of thought that says, gosh, the best players in the world are going to choose what they need to make their game work. And for far too long, maybe the average golfer tried to grab the same equipment, but where do we draw our connections? Where does Tour Edge, where do your development team, how do they tie the threads between what the best players in the world need and what's going to help make the game more enjoyable for everyone else?
Yeah, I think that's what we do the best compared to all the other manufacturers, that we strive to make a golf club for every single player type. And so we have three distinct kind of sub-brands that we sell through, and Exotics being our tour preferred line that's ultra premium, that can go head to head against anything that's out there and still undercut them in price. Our company mantra, our tagline is pound for pound, nothing comes close. But you'll find that really is the case with the hot launch that we just mentioned, which is our mid-tier price point. And that's again, with the focus on game improvement and super game improvement, making the game of golf easier to play, really affordable, and then tying in custom fitting into that model as well,
right,
which nobody else is doing. And then as far as with a mid-tier price point, a lot of people think of custom fitting, they're thinking, oh, I'm gonna have to choose from a wall full of shafts that are going to be $300 and $500 upgrades. You know, we're really simplifying that process. We feel like it's very important for you to get fit to the right specs to your game, but you don't have to break the bank to do it. And then our third sub-brand that we have is called the Get in the Game products, and that is complete sets that we've been sold out of for quite some time.
Right.
Because of the huge boom that's happening in golf. It's junior sets, it's affordable putters and wedges, and it's golf bags. So we are really one of the only companies that is focusing on every player in type and in between. So not all manufacturers can say that. We have a lot of SKUs to make that happen, but we really are focusing on making sure that you get into the right price point and the right performance that you're looking for.
Well, and I think that's smart because if we've learned anything, it is certainly that there's not one size that fits all. And truly to find something that is going to be the right fit and make the game fun and playable for that right golfer is important. I was intrigued by what you said really about that change in philosophy on club fitting. People, I think you're right, thought forever that if I'm going to go get fit, I'm getting directed to the highest end equipment. But if that same person was a runner, you know, even if they were looking for a mid-level running shoe, they wouldn't just go in and buy a running shoe off the shelf. They're going to look for the right fit, the right width, the right camber on it. And golfers just coming around to that. So it's great that overall there's the option to go and get something that is going to make this game's hard enough. Go and get something that makes really any level of player find a way to have it be more enjoyable.
Yeah, and you know the bigger guys, the manufacturers out there, the prices have gone skyrocketing. You know, and they're selling $700 drivers. The one I brought in today, the new Pro 721, this is a $449 driver. That's the most expensive driver we have. And it is packed with technology and obviously for your better player who swings a lot faster. But when you get down to, you know, one of our hot launch drivers, it's going to be $229. It's very affordable. So there's a big dichotomy there, and there's a lot of different golfers that fall into between that spectrum, and we're trying to service all of them. And the bigger, larger manufacturers can't say that these days. They're just trying to, they've raised their prices to the point where they're shutting some people out.
John, tell us a little bit about supply and demand here. And, you know, we've heard comments from industry leaders saying, you know, the industry really wasn't designed to keep seeing clubs fly off the shelves the way that they have been. And some of the stories are saying whether it's due to the pandemic or other situations trying to get product into the country through the ports, that there is going to be some shortages and it's going to be tougher to get all the clubs that people are waiting on. And sometimes when supplies come in, those supplies have already been sold, so they never even get to the shelf. We see some pictures, PGA Tour stores, places like that. Some of their shelves are empty. There's no golf balls there. There's no things. What can you tell us just about supply and demand? Because Tour Edge is one of the companies that really promises a quick turnaround and get your clubs to you after you pick them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been crazy. Ever since the pandemic hit, there were so many new golfers that came to the game. And just in that first year, 2020 to beginning of this year, we saw, I think, 550,000 new juniors came to the game. That was because, obviously, organized sports was shut down, and golf was one of the safest things that you could do. We also saw about a 40% bump in new golfers that were coming back to the game or starting for the first time. That was a huge jump that we hadn't seen. That was overshadowing any Tiger effect we ever saw. Kind of harkened back to the mid-'80s when, you know, the graphite shaft was invented and persimmon woods went to metal woods. But it was the fact that there were so many golfers coming to the game, and that's why we had a problem with fulfilling the package sets, the complete sets that were very convenient to, you know, beginning golfers and to your mid-tier price point clubs like Hot Launch. It was very hard for us to keep in stock. We've had to do our due diligence to really, you know, make sure that we can fill that demand coming up in 2021, at the end of 2021 and 2022. But there's other problems that are starting to arise that really aren't connected to this growth in golf. It's more about trying to get caught up to what's happening at the ports. There's just, you know, it's taking about 150% longer to get a container in than it was in previous years. They're just not, you know, there's a backlog that they're trying to get deal with, and it's just not getting fixed. So it's been a problem. There's been a shortage in materials as well. Steel shafts are going to be pretty hard to get. Grips have been pretty hard to get this year. I think they finally got caught up a little bit. But it's just all these components that go into making a golf club aren't readily available as they were. We went from being an industry that really the biggest problem you had is that you had excess inventory. You had to find out how to get rid of it. And now it's turned to the exact opposite. It's how do you get all this stuff in time and get it out the door fast enough to meet all this demand? And it's a difficult, difficult thing. It's just one of those. There's other industries out there that are experiencing the same thing. I know lumber and other stuff, cars are hard to get right now. It's happening with golf clubs. So if you can get out there and get your golf club, you should feel a little lucky. But because there is definitely a waiting line in a lot of different scenarios.
Well, it'll be great to see when I get back on the golf course this week with Len Ziem that he's gonna have some new clubs actually in his bag. How about that, Len?
No, we don't know that yet. We don't know. We're not sure about that. But I'm anxious to get back on the course and play more because we've been getting back to the Midwest. I've been spending an awful lot of time at our new place in Florida, and I like the Midwest courses are a lot better to play right around here now. So we're excited about it. A couple of good outings coming this week, and we'll see how they all go. It's going to be fun.
You know, guys, interesting to talk about. Here we are in September, and there is a release coming up on Tuesday. I think forever there was a pattern and a cycle in the golf industry where the PGA Show would roll around early in the year. Products were released kind of on a pattern. There was a mold and a template to follow. It seems that overall, and Rory and Len, I know you guys religiously have gone to the PGA Show to stay on top of what the new products are, but that pattern may be gone. It especially even fueled further by some of the supply chain issues. It is not necessarily the PGA Show and the date on the calendar that maybe is going to dictate product release, John.
Yeah, it's the PGA Show being at the end of January every year in Orlando was kind of falling behind the actual cycle in when golf clubs were being sold and pre-booked into accounts on the industry side of things. But it was always used to prop those products up and sure. launch them. And we've started launching, even when we were still going to the PGA Show, we started launching some of this stuff in October and a little bit before and get a head start on it and kind of have that own space to ourselves. There's going to be – it's a little bit different. Obviously, there was no PGA Show in 2020. They're trying to have a show in 2021. Right now, it's on schedule and it's going to happen. But not everybody's going back because of all the uncertainty that's out there. It's a lot of money to get a booth and get all your employees down there for the week. And so right now, I think there's still some caution. And, there are some larger name companies that aren't attending. And, Tour Edge has taken another break from it this year. And, basically the problem is that we have done most of our business before the show's happening. Sure. Sure. It used to be what was called a buying show where there was actually people would sit down and actually place their orders for the year. But because it's at the end of January, that's a little bit too late in the current cycle. Most of the orders are placed now by the end of October, when the reps take their fall run. And so when you were sitting down in January, you'd already kind of figured out what you were doing together, and you'd just kind of be rehashing and planning some of the marketing out. But so it really had turned into more of a PR media show, which we did many, 16 straight years. We had a media event where we had other manufacturers that joined us and put on a great event. The last few years being at Lake Nona, and so the companies would give a nice little press conference to the media, and then everybody would go out and hit balls on the range and try out some equipment, and then they'd go out for a nice round of golf. So we're hoping to get back to that here soon. The PGA Show is definitely taking a hit from the pandemic, and we're hoping that it comes back full force, and when it does, we'll be there.
All right. It is 4:33. We're going to take our next break. We'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the golf courses of the Arlington Heights Park District, Arlington Lakes, and the 9-hole par 3 Nickel Knoll Course on top of Catons Hill. call Nickel Knoll at 847-590-6050 or visit ahpd.org/golf. The Kettle Moraine area of Wisconsin has created some of the best golf holes in the Midwest, and now they include Erin Hills in Erin, Wisconsin. Erin Hills, a walking-only venue, has already hosted three USGA championships, including the 2017 U.S. Open. In 2022, the USGA Mid-Am arrives, followed by the U.S. Women's Open in 2025. Erin Hills has both overnight rooms and cottages for when you're ready to stay right on property. For cold beverages on a hot summer day, why not try the famed Erin Hills Fescue Rescue or a frosted stein full of Erin Hills Pilsner? The over 300-yard practice range gives you a variety of ways to tone up your game, and now you can try the brand-new lighted 2-acre Drumlin putting green. So when you're ready to play where the pros play for major golf championships, visit Erin Hills. Create your play and stay at erinhills.com or call to reserve a tee time at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. Erin Hills in Erin, Wisconsin, erinhills.com. The Mount Prospect Golf Club is now rated one of the finest public courses in the state, according to Golf Week magazine. The course, first designed in 1926, was brought back to its origins by architect Dave Essler. Essler created classic golf holes from famous golf clubs in the Midwest and the Northeast. If you enjoy a classic-style golf course with holes like Redan, Eden, Cape, Punch Bowl, and Barrett-style holes, then the Mount Prospect Golf Course is for you. While you're there, warm up or take a lesson on the new double-ended driving range that plays over 300 yards. To book tee times or schedule an event, call 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. And learn more at golfmountprospect.com. That's golfmtprospect.com. This segment is sponsored by the French Lick Resort of French Lick, Indiana, home to the Donald Ross Course, the Pete Dye Course, or the nine-hole Valley Links Golf Course. Plan your play and stay at FrenchLick.com.
All right, we're a little bit past the midpoint, making our turn here on our hour of golf talk in studio. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears and Bill Berger. We're joined with a guest host in studio today, John Claffey from Tour Edge. Been talking a lot about their current line of products and getting a little bit of sneak preview on some products yet to come. You know, guys, we head into, we head in September. I think in this market, a lot of folks are starting to realize that these final days of good weather are coveted indeed. We may be closer to the end of the beginning, but still a lot left and probably still a lot of folks starting to plan their winter golf and still think about equipment even heading into the season to come. Rory, I know for you, it's kind of a year-round cycle of what's next in your bag.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, my question for John, we talked about how things would launch at the PGA show. If something didn't get out there, well, you made sure you had it out around Masters Week when there was golf buzz and the golf season up north, so to speak, was starting. But, John, is it equally as important to almost have something new coming out in advance of, I'll call it the holiday rush, Black Friday time when people might be either getting clubs for themselves or buying them as gifts for friends and family members?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I think what led to us starting to launch, these October 1 availability dates and then having your traditional kind of March 1, April 1 availability dates on the back end of that, is that the ebb and flow has kind of changed a little bit when it comes to golf being seasonal, when it comes to purchasing. It just, obviously, you're going to sell a lot more golf clubs in July than you are in December. But at the same time, when you actually study the data, it is not that big of a drop-off anymore. It's kind of evened out a little bit to where almost every month is almost the same. Obviously, your big months of June, July, August are still going to be there, and they're still going to be top dog. but the drop-off is not as big as we've once seen, and that's kind of what's led to this mindset. Surprisingly, right? I mean, especially in a place like here when you, you know, you're not playing for a few months. But, you know, rounds are so high right now. I think we're up 15% on the year over last year, and obviously we saw a huge jump in rounds last at the end of last year as well. So rounds are way up. There's a lot of great fall golf to still happen here. October is one of my favorite months to play golf. Yeah. It's quite beautiful to get out there and play in that crisp air. So, yeah, there's still some good months left. And then, you know, golf is a game where you never really stop thinking about it during the off season. You're always catching yourself in the mirror doing the practice swing and thinking about your bag setup. So I think golfers, we just never really turn off.
Well, actually, and before we let him go today, Len, could you jump in and kind of talk a little bit about the Florida golf season, because I think it's a little bit different than obviously what we have here in Illinois. And I got to believe that as people head back to Florida that have been up north all summer, their things probably really start to pick up in October and November down by you and your new clubhouse in Sarasota.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Florida golf is going to be really good come out earlier than it usually is. I mean, yeah, July and August is a good time to be away from Florida because it's so hot and play is pretty limited in the early morning hours. But it's going to be really good when we're going to get back there right after the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame induction on October 1st. And we've joined a new club out there called Palmare, and we're looking forward to everything going on there. One thing that is John would certainly know more about this than me, but I have a fear that one of my favorite events every year, just to attend and to be around friends and all that, is the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando in late January. And I think that the buying cycle is really going to change that show. I don't know that I hope it'll always be there'll always be a big show, but I wonder if by the changing in marketing and so forth that it'll ever be again as big as it has been. I've been there probably more than 10 years in a row, and always fun to get there, and I look forward to it. But you gotta cover this a little differently now than I think you have in the past.
Yeah, I think it's gonna it's just gonna kind of lose this trade show mentality, and it's going to be more of a PR show and allow consumers to be a little bit more involved, almost like more like your NAMM show that you'll find out with music out in California and in Vegas. So I just think everything changes. There's always going to that's always going to be the case, and whether it's a new date or a new location, you never know. But I know Orlando's got that on lockdown for a few years now on contract, and I just think, limiting it to the trades specifically may be changing. I think it's going to be a little bit more open to have more people come out and enjoy some of the aspects of the PGA show.
All right. It's 4:42. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger in studio today. Special guest from Tour Edge Golf, Vice President of Marketing, John Claffey. We've had Len Zeem with us on the line. Lenny, I know you've got a dinner to run to, so we are going to let you go. Thanks for jumping in, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the golf course during the week ahead.
You bet. It's going to be a big one.
Okay. Thank you. That's the Daily Herald's Len Zeem. You can catch his columns for the rest of the month in the Daily Herald every Wednesday. John, how much excitement is there just, a little buzz maybe around the office when you've got a big week coming up like you do this week with new product hitting the market?
Yeah, it's always fun to see, because we'll have all the major magazines and blogs and everything writing about us and kind of get out in front of everybody else, announcing this new product. So it's definitely going to be exciting, to finally, we've been working on this stuff for, 4 months, and to finally be able to unveil it and have everybody else see it and get excited about it is going to be really fun.
John, your owner, David Glott, he's spent so many years now, tinkering around, designing new clubs. And tell us what it's like for him to still get in there and try to take your product line to the next level with the other engineers that he works with.
Yeah, huge emphasis on R&D expansion with Tour Edge lately. You know, we're out in Batavia. Dave actually lives in Michigan, and he commutes every week. So he's got a huge just focus on R&D, but we've brought in some engineers. We've brought in a new robot called Ted, Tour Edge Development, that's upstairs, that's swinging all day long, testing shafts and different heads. We have a new vice president of product engineering, Matt Neely, who came from Adams, TaylorMade, and Nike. So he's a young whiz who's come in and really helped Dave out. We've brought in two other members to the R&D team, so it's been a huge ramp up and R&D, so it's kind of matched what we've been doing on tour, ramping things up there and ramping up our marketing and, you know, seeing our ads on Golf Channel. It all kind of goes hand in hand, and, you know, we are leaving no stone unturned when it comes to making sure that we bring all the innovation and technology needed to make these golf clubs as good as they can be while being priced as well as they could be. So it's something that for a medium-sized golf club manufacturer, we have to keep innovating. We have to keep up with the Joneses, and we feel that we're doing that and more so.
Well, John, you know, you mentioned earlier about the surge in golf. We knew last year was a different kind of year with certainly with COVID and so many other things shut down that, maybe the surge in golf was because it was the only show in town. But yet, as you alluded to, numbers are up yet again this year, despite ballparks being open and the return of graduation parties and all those other things. You know, I oversee three courses in the Chicago area for the DuPage Forest Preserve District. And at a course like the Preserve at Oak Meadows, July over July, even though things were back to somewhat normal, carts allowed again, foursomes at regular intervals last July, we saw a 10% increase this year. Yeah. And there's this continued appetite and renewal of demand for golf. Some of us know we've been in this industry long enough to know there's cycles to everything, and perhaps that won't last forever. But in the R&D game and in the equipment game, certainly you need that crystal ball. I know you're looking 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road. Is the outlook at Tour Edge rosy on continue to be rosy on golf in general, staying at this level, or is part of that still your effort to keep grabbing market share to continue to support your efforts?
Yeah, no, it's been absolutely crazy when it comes to the clubs flying off the shelves. If you were to come in and look at our headquarters and look at our warehouse in Batavia, you'd see empty shelves, and you would think, maybe they're going out of business. And it's just that nothing's going up on shelves anymore. The containers are coming in. They're going out that same day because everything is booked and spoken for right now. We're still, with our exotics line, we're still able to do our unprecedented 48-hour delivery on custom fitting. So on certain SKUs, we're able to still do that. We're going to try to do that with our new clubs that we're launching next week. But, you know, where you go in and get fit at one of our, 1,200 fitting locations across country, and literally in 48 hours, it'll be back at your doorstep. So we're trying to do that. I think a big reason why we were able to grow golf so much during this pandemic was your places like Topgolf. They really, I think, lubed up a lot of people to the golf experience and got them to feel comfortable swinging a club in that social setting. And I think that really, really helped to when this hit. It was like, okay, I've had that experience. I can now take myself out to the golf course and pick this game up. So I do give them that kind of social phenomenon that's happened with the golf shacks and the Top Golfs a lot of credit.
Well, John, I got to believe that, and companies like yours, Tour Edge, that are leaders in, putting golf clubs in people's hands that they can hit. You know, there's always been different stigmas attached to different brands that, you got to be a better player to hit this club. This is a club that's more for a beginner. But the word we hear frequently is forgiving. And I got to believe that, Tour Edge has found a way to make clubs, more forgiving for the average, whatever it is, 10, 15, 20 or above handicapper, and at the same time, What kind of feedback are you getting as you turn it up a little bit for your tour players? Obviously, you've got a lot of players you're connected with now on the PGA Champions Tour, and some companies are saying that this club or that club was designed from input that we got from a certain player, and now we're going to build it for everybody. What kind of feedback have you gotten from your Champions Tour players that's going into your designs?
Yeah, so I think, you know, again, it comes down to us wanting to make a golf club for every different type of golfer out there. The clubs we're launching on Tuesday, the big tagline that Bernhard Langer is going to be saying in our commercials out there on the Golf Channel and elsewhere is that these are the easiest golf clubs you'll ever play. And we mean it. We design them with higher lofts, with, you know, more forgiveness and all the tech and innovation that you can make to make them easy to play. It's all about ease of use, ease of launch. Now, when it comes to the clubs I brought into the studio today, the Pro 721, they were made with the feedback from the tour player for faster swing speeds. Anything over 105 mile per hour with a driver to 110 mile per hour. So we're talking about a smaller head on the driver, a 440 cc instead of 460. The pros don't want the big massive head anymore. They're not getting around on it like they feel they should. They want a little bit of a smaller head that harkening back to, you know, the olden days. With the fairway woods, they want deep faces. They want compact designs. They want to be able to change the weights on the extreme heel and toe. So if they do need to start shaping their shots that way, they can do so. With the Pro 721 Hybrid I brought in, it is the smallest hybrid head that you'll find on the marketplace. 75 cc's. It's tiny. But they wanted something that's more iron-like because they want to put an iron swing on a hybrid and not a wood swing. That's a big deal to them. They want it, it allows them to not go left. And the reason why a lot of pros don't play hybrids is because either they balloon too much into the wind or they go left on them. And so with a smaller head, you're able to take both of those out of the equation. They're still able to be long iron replacements, you know, replace your 4, your 5 iron with this hybrid and have it land softly on the greens. So, yeah, we're out there every week. We're taking notes. That's why this is a limited edition, because, listen, it's only for about 15% of the golfers out there, whereas the stuff we're launching, the hot launch stuff we're launching on Tuesday, is for about 80%. So they're different strokes for different folks, right? And that's always been the case in golf. But it just seems like a lot of the times we're trying to force somebody into something these days that they probably shouldn't be playing. I mean, the number one most played golf ball out there is a Pro V1 still. And not sure that that's the best golf ball for a lot of people that are playing that ball right now. So, you know, it goes hand in hand to where you're at with the game and how long you've been playing and how much skill you have, but also how fast you're swinging. So we're looking at all those variables. We're trying to make it get you the right golf club to who you are.
451, I'm Rory Spears, Golfers on Golf Radio. Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger here today. That's John Claffey you just heard, Vice President Marketing, Tour Edge Golf, as they get ready to release some new clubs this week. With that, we are going to take our final break, and then we'll be back to wrap it up for the week and hear a little bit more from John before we put out on 18.
This segment was sponsored by Indiana's number one travel destination property, the French Lick Resort. 3 golf courses, spa, casino, several restaurants, and more. Visit FrenchLick.com. FrenchLick.com.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton, has 27 holes open for play. So whether your golf day is a 9, 18, or 27 holes in a day type day, Arrowhead Golf Club can accommodate all your golf needs. Arrowhead, now in its 94th year of serving Chicago area golfers, has never looked better since the recent Greg Martin renovation that redid the greens, the tees, and the bunkers with the white tour edge sand. But all the work wasn't done on the golf course. The improved practice areas and now lighted driving range gives you more hours every day to practice or get in a lesson. Arrowhead's fully stocked pro shop is one of the largest in the Chicagoland area, and Arrowhead's 28th hole, the bar and grill, is complete with indoor and outdoor seating. So whether it's golf, a corporate function, weddings, or more, see arrowheadgolfclub.org or call Arrowhead Golf Club at 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Wheaton. New ownership, new management, new professional, new superintendent, great new look. Klein Creek Golf Club, tee times at 630-690-0101 or visit KleinCreek.com or try out the new Klein Creek app.
The preceding has been a paid program.
All right, 4:54, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, along with Bill Berger, Ed Stevenson, and Vice President of Marketing, John Claffey from Tour Edge Golf. And in our final few minutes here, I'm going to start by asking John, you know, the obvious question, people are going to see everything that's written and said about your new launch coming on Tuesday, and the first question is going to be is how fast can I get that stuff in my golf bag? John Cluison.
Yeah, it's going to be available October 1st. So it's, you know, we're announcing it through the media on Tuesday and starting the pre-sale the next day after that on the 15th. And yeah, it's be widely available across the country and across the globe starting October 1.
And where in the Chicagoland area is the best place to go see it or test it or things like that?
Yeah, all sorts of options there. Just the best way to find out is go to touredge.com, get on our dealer locator, type in your zip code, and see who pops up. But PGA Tour Superstore is going to have plenty of these this new line, and there's, you know, all of our partners across the Chicagoland are going to be jumping on this one.
So the results seem to be getting better all the time for your Champions Tour players. And I know that I believe it's still the Schwab Cup. But that's going to be coming before too long, right?
Yeah, got Langer in the number one spot again. He just took that over with his runner-up finish last event. And, yeah, we went 1-2 finish. Can't get any better than that. And set a new record for amount of clubs in play this week in St. Louis. John Daly's playing 13 of our clubs by choice. He's not even on a staff deal with us. He just, first week he started playing our new C721 driver in irons. He finished second, and he showed up at the next event and said, I might as well be playing all your clubs. And so he's been awesome to work with. He just threw out the first pitch at the St. Louis Cardinals game last week and or this week. And he's playing pretty well this week with 13 Tour Edge clubs in play.
Well,
you know, on that, excuse me, that... the senior tour, John, did congratulations to Dave, you, and the staff for getting the old guys going. I don't imagine it was that easy. You know, they're harder to, you know, they got close relationships with all the majors, you know, going back to McGregor and Ping and all the rest of the older companies. It's hard to bust in there. Now, how did that happen? You know, you guys really, really kicked the door down to get into that.
Yeah, we went.
I know you went longer at it than it looks. You know, a lot of people remark, oh, now they're, you know, sponsoring a lot of senior tour. I said, well, they have been for a little while now.
Yeah, we started in 2018 out there. That was my first 3 weeks on the job, was going out there and figuring that out with our tour rep and Andy Harris, who's been with us for 15 years plus. We've got another tour rep now, Jeff Opine, who goes out there every week with those guys. So we go to every event. We set up on the range. It's trial and error. It's all organic. We've had 129 different Champions Tour players put our clubs in play since that time.
Wow.
So it is not just that we have Tom Lehman and Scott McCarron and Bernhard Langer and Duffy on staff, Tim Petrovic and Ken Duke. We've had 125 other guys who have put our clubs in play. And the big breakthrough recently, Billy, has been our drivers. We've had 27 different guys play our drivers since the beginning of last year. And none of those guys have been paid to play our driver. That is unheard of. That's why we're on the Champions Tour. You can't do it on the PGA Tour. Everybody's locked in to a deal. There's very little room in the bag. You can maybe go out there and get a few fairways and hybrids in play, but never could you go out and get 29 guys playing your driver for no money. That's what we've accomplished in the last two seasons on the Champions Tour. That's why we're out there. We're there to prove ourselves. We're there to validate the brand, and it's definitely been a huge for us.
Well, going back, you know, with the junior clubs, you know, I know at the Preserve we had a lot of your junior clubs, and the clinics that Eddie and I did long ago. I'm not blowing smoke at you. They were the best of the junior group. They were the best looking, and they felt good, and so that had to help being always aimed in a pretty good direction. You know, stuff like that. And that's who's gonna buy your equipment, the normal everyday golfer and juniors getting that look at Tour Edge way back. I'm sure a bunch of them play your club now. You know.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story that kind of equates to that, Billy. We were out of the PGA Tour. Our rep was a couple seasons ago, I think 3 years ago, and Brooks Koepka was going having all his success, and he comes up to us and says, you know, my first set ever was a Tour Edge junior set.
Really?
So that just goes to show you what can happen.
I knew I liked that guy.
Just goes to show you what can happen when you play Tour Edge as a kid, right?
All right. Well, hey, listen, John Claffey, Vice President of Marketing, Tour Edge, thanks so much for coming into the studio today. For John Claffey, Ed Stevenson, Bill Berger, I'm Rory Spears. We thank Paul for getting us out to you today. We thank Lenny Ziem for jumping in before dinner plans. And with that, go hit them straight, everybody, and watch for Torres.